We're in Bible reading number 79, and we are reading the 12th chapter of the book of Judges. When I finish the book of Judges, we're going to go all the way back to Exodus, and we're going to read the whole book of Exodus, and then we're going to do all of Exodus also. Genesis and Exodus, which I'm very excited about doing. Here we are, rebellion, genocide, Adam's nature all over the place, flip-flopping from serving God to going to a demons, serving demons, and God gets jealous and kills a bunch of them, and they're killing each other. They're killing each other. They're looking for reasons to kill each other. That's the Adamic nature. Looking for reasons of genocide. Then the men of Ephraim were summoned, and they crossed to Saphron and said to Japheth, why did you not cross over to fight against the sons of Ammon without calling to us to go with you? We will burn your house down. We will burn your house down upon you. And Japheth said to them, I and my people were at great strife with the sons of Ammon when I called you, and you did not deliver me from their hand. And when I saw that you did not deliver me, I took my life in my own hands and crossed over against the sons of Ammon. And the Lord gave them into my hand, and why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me? Genocide, hate, murder in their hearts. Then Japheth gathered all the men of Gilead and fought Ephraim. And the men of Gilead defeated Ephraim because they said, you are fugitives of Ephraim, O Gileadites, in the midst of Ephraim and in the midst of Manasseh. And the Gileadites captured the fords of Jordan opposite Ephraim. And it happened. Now these brothers are fighting each other. This is Israel fighting Israel. This is Israel bringing about families to genocide. And when the men of Gilead would say to him, are you an Ephraimite? And if he said no, then they would say to him, say now, Shibboleth. But he said, Shibboleth, for he could not pronounce it correctly. Then they would seize him and slew him at the fords of Jordan. And thus there fell at that time 42,000 men of Ephraim. And Japheth judged Israel 6 years, and Japheth the Gileadite died and was buried in one of his cities of Gilead. And now Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel after him. And he had 30 sons and 30 daughters. Whom he gave in marriage outside of the family. And he brought in 30 daughters from outside before his sons. And he judged Israel for 7 years. Then Ibzan died and was buried in Bethlehem. Now Elon, the Zebulunite, judged Israel after him, and he judged Israel for 10 years. Then Elon, the Zebulunite, died and was buried in Aijalon in the land of Zebulun. Now Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Perathonite, judged Israel after him. Now, Abdon means slave, by the way. That's what it means. It comes from Abad in Hebrew, or servant. And he had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 donkeys, and he judged Israel for 8 years. And Abdon, son of Hillel, the Perathonite, died and was buried at Perathon in the land of Ephraim in the hill country of the Amalekites. Now the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, so that the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines. 40 years. 40 years they're in the hands of the Philistines. 40 years. 4 decades in the hands of the Philistines. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites. Now what does the word Dan mean? Remember? Dan means judge. Now remember, the book of Judges is the book of heroes and heroines. And we've seen some heroines in here. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. Manoah, of course, means rest. And his wife was barren and had borne no children. Now, every woman wanted to have children. They wanted to have a family. They wanted to bear children. They believed that God did not love them if they weren't blessed with children. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now therefore, be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor to eat any unclean thing." Now, this angel of the Lord, and by the way, this is Jesus talking to her. Jesus in his pre-incarnate form is talking to this woman. And he tells her, do not drink wine. "For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb." Now, what's a Nazarite?
A Nazarite
did not eat grapes. He did not drink wine. He wasn't supposed to be around a woman when he had the vow of the Nazarite. Paul was a Nazarite, took the vow of the Nazarite. We believe that from what he said in the book of Acts there. He was not supposed to drink any wine. The Nazarite was a priest on duty. Now, when the priest went in to serve the Lord for so many days, so many weeks, they could not drink wine, they could not eat raisins, they could not be with their wives. Nor could they cut their hair. Now, here, we're going to have a child born, a Nazarite from his mother's womb. Now, we had another Nazarite in the Bible too, didn't we? In the New Testament. His name was John the Baptist. He was a Nazarite. He was a Nazarite from his mother's womb, and he had a miraculous birth also. Now, the second Nazarite was a little bit better type of character than the first one that we have here. "But behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from his womb." He'd be like in service to God from his womb, like a priest, a voluntary priest. A servant to God, in service to God. "And she shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Then the woman came and told her husband. "A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like that appearance of an angel of God. Very awesome. And did not I ask him where he came from, nor did he tell me his name. But he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and now you shall not drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing.'" She couldn't have oysters, she couldn't have clams, she couldn't have crawdads, she couldn't have shrimp or anything like that, see? Or eat of any animal that was unclean. "And the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." And then Manoah begged or entreated the Lord and said, "O Lord, please let the man of God whom you have sent to us again, that he may teach us what to do with this boy who is to be born. We want some instruction here. We don't want to do anything wrong." And God listened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came to the woman as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman ran quickly and told her husband, "And behold, the man who came the other day has appeared to me again." And Manoah rose and he followed his wife. And when he came to the woman, he said to him, by the way, the angel Jehovah appeared to the woman first. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary first. The angel Gabriel appeared to John the Baptist's mother also, Elizabeth, and then to the husband. "Are you the man who spoke to the woman?" And he said, "I am." Ego eimi, by the way, Hayah Asher Hayah. I am that I am. This is the title of Jehovah right here. And Manoah said, now when your words came to pass, what shall be the boy's mode of life and his vocation? And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, let the woman pay attention to all that I have said. She shall not eat anything that it comes from the vine, or drink wine, or drink strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. Let her observance all that I have commanded. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you so that you may prepare, we may prepare a kid for you, a young, tender meal. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know that it was the angel of the Lord. This is Jehovah. This title is given to Jehovah. This is Jehovah. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? So that when your words come to pass, we may honor you. But the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name? Seeing it is wonderful. His name is wonderful. This is Jehovah. This is the name you can't pronounce. So Manoah took the kid and the grain offering and offered it on a rock to the Lord, and he performed wonders while Manoah and his wife looked on. Jehovah performed miracles. Jehovah performed miracles, miracles like he would perform in his ministry. And it came about when time went up, when the flame went up from the altar toward heaven, that the angel of the Lord descended in the flame of the altar. And when Noah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. Now the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manasseh or his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. This is Jehovah. So Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die, for we have seen God. I wish the Jehovah Witnesses would look at this. This is Jesus. But his wife said to him, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have let us hear things like this at this time. What all did they hear? Did they hear things like John the Revelator saw in the book of Revelation? What did he do? What did he show them? Did he show them time travel? Did he show them the future? The boy was not going to be the best boy in the world. This is going to be an outlaw. This boy is. This is going to be an outlaw. Everything that he was supposed to do, he didn't do. Everything that he wasn't supposed to do, he did. Then the woman gave birth to a son. And she named him Sunlight. Sunlight. That's what Samson means, sunlight. And the child grew up, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Mahanadon, between Zorah and Eshtaol. Then Samson went down to Timnah. And he saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now he's going to go marry a heathen. So he came back and told his father and mother, I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, go get her for me as a wife. Go get her. Does this sound like a godly boy? What's going on here? Is this a self-centered person? Then his father and his mother said to him, is no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among your own people that you would take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, go get her from me, for I like her looks. She looks good to me. She looks right in my eyes. However, his father and mother did not know that it was for the Lord, that it was the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now at that time the Philistines were ruling over Israel. Now maybe Samson lusted after this woman because God allowed him to do that. Now remember, a Nazarite was not supposed to be with a woman. John the Baptist wasn't with a woman. Paul wasn't with a woman. Those others with him wouldn't be with a woman. They would not be drinking wine. They would not be eating grapes or any unclean thing. Then Samson went down to Timnah with his mother and father and came as far as the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came roaring toward him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he tore him as one tears a kid, though he had nothing in his hands. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Now, what did Samson look like? Did he look like Charles Atlas? Did he look like Arnold Schwarzenegger? Did he look like the movie stars that portrayed him in the past, a big, strong, burly person with muscles like iron? Or was he a 150-pound, 5'1" weakling that the Spirit of the Lord came upon? What did he really look like? Doesn't tell us. But when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he did some mighty things. It was the Spirit of God in David that killed Goliath. The Spirit of God was with David when he killed Goliath, the supernatural, powerful, 9-foot-plus tall man. And he went down and talked to the woman, and she looked good to Samson. And when he returned later to take her, he turned aside and looked at the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the body of the lion. Honeycomb, they started building a honeycomb in the body of the lion. Now, a lion, first of all, is an unclean animal, isn't it? They were not supposed to, Nazarite wasn't supposed to eat anything that was unclean. He wasn't supposed to touch a dead animal. A priest was not supposed to touch a dead animal. But now he's going to break his vow. First of all, he went after him a woman, which he wasn't supposed to do. Now he kills a lion with his own bare hands by the power of God. Now there's a honeycomb in this lion, which is an unclean animal. And he's going to eat the honeycomb out of the unclean animal, which the honeycomb is unclean. He's breaking a lot of vows here, isn't he? Then he scraped the honey into his hands. And he went on eating as he went. And when he came to his father and his mother, he gave some to them, and they ate it. But they did not know, he did not tell them, that he had scraped the honey out of the body of the dead lion, an unclean animal, an unclean dead. Then his father went down to the woman, and Samson made a feast there, for the young men customarily do this. And it came about, when they saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. 30 companions. Then Samson said to them, "Let me now propound a riddle to you. If you'll indeed tell to me within the 7 days of the feast..." Now, a man would marry a wife and he would sleep with her for 7 days. That's what he'd do. They would have a wedding feast and he would be sleeping with her for 7 days. That's exactly what Jacob did with Leah and Rachel. They had their wedding week. The wedding week, like the Lord will have the wedding week and the tribulation period, the 7-year week that the Lord will be married to his bride. The man and woman would get to know each other. "And then tell me within the 7 days of the feast and find out whether I will give to you 30 linen wraps and 30 changes of clothes. But if you are unable to tell me, then you will give me 30 linen wraps and 30 changes of clothes." And they said to him, "Propound your riddle." that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. But they could not tell the riddle in 3 days. Then it came about on the fourth day that they said to Samson's wife, now she's married to him, okay? She's married to him. This is his wife. They've come together in an intimate relationship. They're married. That he may tell us the riddle, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Really nice guys, huh? Have you invited us to impoverish us? Is this not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, you only hate me, and you do not love me. You have propounded a riddle to the sons of my people and have not told it to me. And he said to her, behold, I have not told it to my father or my mother. Why should I tell it to you? However, she wept before him 7 days. She's crying, bawling and squalling. 7 days while the feast lasted. And it came about on the seventh day that he told her, because she pressed him so hard. So then she told the riddle to the sons of her people. Wasn't a very faithful wife, was she? Pretty is as pretty does. So the men of the city said to him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? Now pay attention to what he says here. And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle. He accused them of having sex with his wife. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. And he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of them. And he took the spoil, and he gave the change of the clothes to those who told the riddle. And his anger burned. And he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his friend. Now he's married to the woman. Now her father gives her to one of his friend, one of the people at the one of the guests at the wedding. But after a while, in time of the wheat harvest, it came about that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. And he said, I will go into my wife in her room. But the father did not let him enter. And her father said, I really thought that you hated her intensely. So I gave her to your companion. Is not her mother and sister more beautiful than she? Is not her younger sister prettier? Please let me give her to you instead. Let her be yours instead. Samson then said to them, this time I shall be blameless in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm. And Samson went and he caught 300 foxes, and he took torches. And he turned the foxes tail to tail, and he put a torch in the middle between their tails. And when he had set fire to the torches, he released the foxes and the standing grain of the Philistines, thus burning up both the shocks and also the standing grain along with the vineyards and groves. He wiped out the whole place. He set it on fire. Then the Philistines said, who did this thing? And they said, Samson, the son of the Timites, because he took his wife and gave her to his companion. So the Philistines came up and they burned her and her father with fire. They executed them with fire. And Samson said to them, since you act like this, I will surely take revenge on you, but after that I will quit. And he struck them ruthlessly with a great slaughter, and he went down and lived in the cleft of the rock in Edom. And the Philistines went up and they camped in Judah. And they spread out in Lehi, And they came up against us, and they said, "We have come to bind Samson in order to do him harm, as he did to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock for Edom, and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What then is this that you have done to us?" And he said to them, "As they did to me, so I have done to them." And they said to him, "We have come down to bind you, that you may give you into the hands of the Philistines." And Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not kill me." Then he said to him, "No, but we will bind you fast and give you into their hands, yet surely we will not kill you." They bound him with new ropes and brought him up from the rock. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and so that the ropes were in his hands like flax that is burned with fire. And his bonds dropped like from his hands. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. And he reached out and took it, and he killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, "With a jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with a jawbone of a donkey, I have killed 1,000 men." And it came about, when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand, and he named the place Ramah-Lehi. Ramah-Lehi, the high place of the jawbone. Then he became very thirsty. And he called upon the Lord and said, "Thou hast given the great deliverance by the hand of your servant. And now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised." But God split the hollow of the place that is in Lehi, so that water came out. And when he drank, his strength returned and he revived. Therefore he named the place En Hakore, which is in Levi to this day, the spring of him who called. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. What a story, huh? A story of the young man that made his vows to God. His parents made his vows to God, and he was a gift of God, wasn't he? He's quite a different person than John the Baptist. He's quite a different person than Saul, but God used him. Even though he was a fragile vessel in many, many ways, God used this man, just like he can use you and me. Maybe you haven't lived the best life in during your lifetime, but God can use you. God can use Samson, he can use you. Saul was a killer of children of God, and God stopped him on the way to Damascus, and he used him mightily. And he died for the name of God in the end. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, it tells us all these things are written for our instruction. "For I do not want you to be ignorant, unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from the spiritual rocks who followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened to them as examples for us." God wrote down in His Word the life of Samson. He wrote down in His Word the life of David. He wrote down in His Word the life of Solomon. Every one of these people were imperfect like you and I were. The only perfect man that ever lived was Jesus Christ. And God can use us. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was raised for your justification. Nevertheless, most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. They have these things happened to them for parables, for examples for us, that we shall not crave evil things as they craved. What did Samson crave? Everything that was wrong. And yet he was a leader of Israel. He was a judge. He was a hero. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were and written, and the people sat down and eat and drank and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did. 23,000 fell in one day. Or let us try the Lord. Don't tempt the Lord, as some of them did, and was destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happen to them as parables, as examples for us, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. These things that we're reading in the Word of God are great stories. God had a hero named Samson. Samson was an imperfect hero, but he was a hero. And God used him mightily. Why did God allow him to do what he did? Why does he allow us to do what we do? Because of the grace of God. Our Father, we send this message out to honor and glorify you and to show forth your shining grace and love and care for us. Father, please use your word to honor and glorify yourself and help us to follow you in your footsteps. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.